expanded it. Little Mikey, you got his, yes, and Lulu, little Mikey, and Eli, and they certainly appreciate you being here tonight, and I thank you for being here to join in this opportunity to remember great things. And so, to get us started, why don't we pray, and then we'll have Pastor Jonathan lead us in a song of worship. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to think about the life and the contribution to the body of Christ to Diane Jimenez. Thank you so much for the prospect of not only a great life, but also a great death. And not just a great death, but reunion for those who have hope in the gospel of Christ. Now, Lord, I pray you bless these next several minutes where we enjoy another opportunity as the body of Christ to worship you and to think on the eternal truths that you've put in your word. And I pray that you'd be with this dear family, you'd bring them comfort as you have been these last 8 days, and that you would breathe your presence into this assembly tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Would you please stand and let's sing together.
I'm
my Savior, that's right. be seated.
All right, at this time, we're going to give you the opportunity to speak words of encouragement to Brother Oscar or the chaplains. Who would get us started? Speak to this family from the heart, encourage them in the gospel. Who would get us started? All right, Brother Mike. Feel free to come up here if you'd like. Your stand regards, everyone is fine.
Brother Oscar, Mike, Jim, family in the hills that have been drawn to this family, Loftus, and all the friends here are going. A little over 6 months ago, my family and we're sitting right where you're sitting right now. I lost my mother of 83 years, and I do believe that I know what you're going through right now. There's a lot of emotions, obviously, that are running through your mind, and God is there. God knows where you are. More importantly, He knows where your sister is, in her presence, in the presence of the Lord. And she'll be there for eternity. So we rejoice in that.
Amen.
But that doesn't necessarily remove the pain and sorrow that you're going through right now. So my words of encouragement to you are to focus your daily thoughts on the Lord. He loves you. He cares for you. He knows what to supply in the way of your needs. And He will help you through this journey of loss if you allow Him to. So I encourage you to do that. I'd like to share with you Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling cry. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come and behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth, who makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. God is with you. Walk with Him daily. Lean on Him and His promises.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to speak words? If you're feeling like
that is something that you will be able to cherish for a very long time.
Amen.
Like, to know that your family worshiped together, that Lilu got to see grandma worship, that Lilu got to watch mom and dad serve, that ministry was done to the praise and the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
Psalm 48, beginning in verse 9, psalm of encouragement for us. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion, and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may go and tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death.
Amen. Michael, Oscar, Shannon, I want you guys to know that I work a lot. I got drilled this weekend. I want you guys to know that I'm still here. And I'm no more than a phone call away. Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing again together. Yes, this next song is loved by many because it really expresses the love we feel for the Lord and that Nyan felt for her Lord. Let's sing again. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God is born.
knows what is good for man in this life? All the days of his vain life which he spends as a shadow, who can tell a man what will be after him under the sun? Maybe you can understand Solomon's just a tad despondent about life. Just a tad frustrated with life. And he's asking, I guess in our case tonight, who knows what good there is for men or women in this life? You know, who knows? And he goes on in chapter 7 and says, a good name is better than precious ointment. And the day of death is better than the day of one's birth. That's madness. Who in the world celebrates death and gets aggravated with births? That seems strange. But that's what he says. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning. That's M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, if you don't have a Bible in front of you. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. Certainly. If anyone knew about feasting, it was Solomon. And he says, this is not as good as going to the house of mourning, a place where we go just to cry, just to weep. And here's what he says. This is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart or relate to his heart. A good name is better than precious ointment. The day of death is better than the day of birth. And it's better to go to the house of mourning than the day of feasting, because that is the end of all men, to go to the house of mourning. Because the living, those who are left behind, will lay it to heart. And then the last verse I'm going to read to you. Sorrow is better than laughter. It seems so paradoxical. How could sorrow possibly be better than laughter? For by the sadness of the countenance, or the sadness of your heart, or the sadness of your face, rather, the heart is made better. Okay, well, this takes some thought, because in Proverbs, he doesn't say this. He says, a merry heart does good like a medicine. And that's the verse I prefer. Oscar, you've known me enough. Mike, Janet, you folks have known me enough to know that I prefer the merry heart over the mourning house. Yes, I do. But there must be some value in this. Must be. And I think it has a lot to do with what he said in verse 1. I want to read it one more time. A good name is better than precious ointment. Well, precious ointment we pour out, it smells good. It makes things appear better. I mean, Jesus said, if you're fasting, make sure you anoint your face so no one knows you're fasting. So in some way, this anointing makes us look better. And it does what probably I could use. It makes us smell better in some ways. And it's better, it's better than precious ointment. And the day of death and the day of one's birth. I take that to mean that only in the case of the person who has a good name is the day of death better than the day of birth. And I also take it that in verse 2, only for those with a good name is it better to go to the house of mourning than it is to go to the house of feasting. But only for those with a good name. For that is the end of men, and the living will lay it to heart. And sorrow is better than laughter. But in the context, sorrow is only better than laughter for those with a good name. For by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. Somehow, a sorrowful face makes your heart feel better, but only for those, according to verse 1, with a good name. That's very powerful. And I think about Diane. I think I knew her 2 years. Is that when? Because you were deployed, and then Mom came to live. Did you plan it that way?
Deployed?
Yeah. I joked often about that with your wife, but she knew what you were doing. So Mom comes to live with you, I think, I've known her 2 years, and she is very, very sincere about the things of God. You know, before you were able to move your Oscar, she was always asking deep questions and very serious about the things of God. She did not play when it came to eternity and the things of God. What a powerful thing. I was thinking today how wonderful it is to not have to come up here and hope that what I'm saying is true.
Amen.
We're talking discuss the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus for our sins and how we can know for sure we're saved by putting our faith in that. Work with another person. And so I'm grateful that Diane Jimenez has a good name. But I think we know something Solomon didn't know here. Solomon did not know Jesus. And I can't think of anything truer than saying the day of death for someone who has Christ's name is better than the day of birth for someone. The house of mourning for the one who has the name above all names is better than the house of feasting. The sadness of countenance is better for someone who dies with the name of Christ than, and it makes their heart glad. These are only true in light of the magnificent person of Jesus. These are only realities and truths for people who have that precious name. Not just naming it, most of our America names it, but has believed on Christ. His name is indeed precious because it is all we have. And oftentimes, in this period of mourning, you know that it is easy to sing, "All I need is Christ," and it's incredibly easy, but most of the time, we're speaking out of lavish abundance. And often, we don't know that all we need is Christ until all we have is Christ. And that is a great thing. So, if I take verse 1 right, November 25th, 2015 was much better than her birthday. and why is that? Well, because in 1959, right, she was born into a world of grief, a world of encounters that are uncomfortable, a world of godlessness, Christlessness, hopelessness, helplessness, and the day of her death, she went into a world that looks nothing like it. Amen. Nothing like that. Matthew Henry says that it's poured out like precious ointment because it just makes the world become sweeter when someone with a good name has the day of their death. Think that through. It makes the world become sweeter, smell better, look better when someone with the name of Christ has the day of their death and we go to the house of mourning. It is incredibly powerful. The second thing I see here is that the reason that we're here is so that we can think about our own deaths. The brave souls that are here tonight are coming here to talk about something that no one likes talking about, but lo and behold, it happens to everyone, even the Son of God. And we are laying this to heart. We're always looking for redos, and we don't get a redo. We don't get a restart. We don't get another shot at this thing of life. There were people that yesterday had no intention of dying that died in San Bernardino. And speed people are like, well, more guns won't cure that. Well, less guns won't cure that either. We're in a world that hates God and therefore produces death in a myriad of ways. And Cain killed his brother without a gun. That is the first piece of evidence that we don't need implements of destruction to destroy. And so we gather here today to think about a day when we'll go to a world where the only destruction being done will be done by one on a white horse. Amen. When he returns in power and great glory. That'll be wonderful. And so someone says we're immortal till our work is done. That's true. But we're not truly immortal in this life. Our mortal must put on immortality. That will happen at the last trump. But until then, we have to pay some serious thought, body of Christ, into the fact that there's precious little that can be done, so we should probably do it. As a matter of fact, there will come a day when everything is a burden. In this very book, in the last chapter, Solomon said the day is coming when even the grasshopper will be a burden. I mean, getting up will be a burden. I don't know if some of you are experiencing that or not, but apparently when you get older, things happen slower. I don't know if that's true or not. Okay, I do know it's true. But back, I don't know what you're talking about. Yes, you do. And life is strange. I've been watching both my parents retire, and I thought they would have all kinds of time, but they are actually maybe busier than they were when they had jobs. And it's a warning to me to realize that you don't have to have a full-time job to run out of life. We can spend our time doing the absolute busiest, most busy activities, and we can actually mistake activity for productivity. And I guess I like Charles Spurgeon. He says, "Do all things to the glory of God, even taking naps." He said that in his book, Lectures to My Students. We need to remember in this book, there's so much I'd like to share with you, but you know, that's not why we're here tonight. I do want us to think on these things. But Ecclesiastes 9:10 says this. It's one chapter, two chapters over. Let me read it to you. It says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. There's no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going." So when you are finding something to do until the last tick of the clock on the clock, we're going to do it with our entire might. We have to. Body of Christ, we have to. Because life is a gift, and it is infinitely small. Thirdly and lastly, somehow our hearts are made better when we go through sadness. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but when things, of course you have recently, but maybe you've experienced the body of Christ in here recently where when people and things are happening to you, and before you know it, you feel so low that you honestly have nothing left to do but lean on Christ and say, "Please help me." And there's this sweetness and that desperation where all of a sudden our heart is made better through sadness somehow. It's strange, very strange. And so we set our minds on home, and our heart is made better. We know that our location that we truly live is in heaven, and our hearts are made better. We know this. We feel like all of our goods and all of our health and all of the people we want knowing us are actually in heaven. And we identify with the gospel in Christ's sorrow. That is to say that in the last 8 days, you have actually been able to identify with the Trinity in ways that people who do not lose people close to them do not identify. God knows what it's like to lose someone very close to him in death. And Jesus, the God-man, stands at a grave and weeps. We're dealing with the same Jesus. And we identify with him when we're filled with grief. He is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So our hearts are made better. And sometimes our hearts are made better simply because we identify with God in our suffering. And so we find those pretty simple takeaways. I want to encourage everyone in this room to become comfortable with the reality that one day, if the Lord tarries his coming, this will be about us. There will be people thinking about how we contributed to the body of Christ or did not. We don't want our children or grandchildren wondering where we are or whether or not we used our life for something that matters. So let's remove all doubt. In conclusion, Jesus, our Messiah. I think about this whole, the day of death is better than the day of birth. I remember Jesus, the angels of heaven, rejoice over his birth in Luke 2. And in his death, you have women weeping at the cross. And that is actually, it's a reality. I'm grateful for it. I would be happy if the Son of God was born in the next time over too. There's no question about that. I would be rejoicing in his birth, and I would weep when he died if I didn't understand his death. But the fact is, his death, it's true in this very, we see Jesus in Ecclesiastes here. The day of his death, really, and I feel like I have to say this in this Christmas season, the day of his death was much better for us than the day of his birth. Yeah. And so instead of being thrilled at his birth and weeping at the thought of his death, we are thrilled at his birth and we shout endlessly for his death. And for that, we can give great thanks to God. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for Solomon, continue to bring peace and comfort through us, the body, to this family. Bless this last song as we sing it to you in the closing, and we will thank you in Jesus' name. Pastor John.
Let's sing again. There is a hope that burns within my heart that gives me strength.
Temptation is to try to make sense of it. To try to make sense of it. 56 years old, help me understand this. You're not supposed to be dying at 56. You're supposed to be there for the graduation. You're supposed to be there for the wedding. You're supposed to be there. You're supposed to be there. You're supposed to be there. And God has made us as beings that desire to make sense of things. We want to make sense of things. That's who we are. We want to look at what happened in California and somehow try to figure it out and make sense of it. That's who we are. And I just want to encourage you to recognize this simple idea. You are not obligated to make sense of this.
Amen.
All you have to do to be faithful, to be obedient, to be in the will of the Lord is just to trust in Him. You've got to live in Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Because you're not going to make sense of it. You simply will not make sense of it. You're going to run back in your mind and you're going to do all the what ifs. And I want to tell you that it doesn't stop. I want to tell you that 5 years from now, you're going to pause and you're going to go, what if? And then you have to say, I will resolve to trust in you today, Lord. Because I don't have any answers. Bill doesn't have an answer. I don't have an answer. There are no easy answers. By Wednesday, why not Friday? It goes on and on and on. It's endless. And these are the opportunities that God gives us to trust in His sovereign providence. And I will tell you, Oscar, your wife was a joy to preach to. She wanted you to have her hunger and thirst for the things of God. She talked to me about that. She wanted you to love the Lord and God with all your heart like she did. So if there is a legacy for you to live through in her homecoming, it is the fact that you pick up where she left off with a hunger and thirst for Him and His Word. Father God in heaven, we ask that you would comfort our hearts, and we are not the only people grieving right now. We recognize that by extension there are families all over the world and even in the United States and even in North Carolina and no doubt unbeknownst to us even in Fayetteville that are grieving and struggling right now. Just in the exact same way that there are families at Cape Fear and Womack celebrating the new birth, there are families that are struggling with the whys and the what ifs. And we pray, oh God, that you would provide grace over and abundantly sufficient to minister to the hearts and minds. And Father, that you would create precious memories in the hearts and minds of the grandbabies. That you would solidify the fact that their grandmother loved Jesus. And that what she would want more than anything else for her grandchildren would be that they would love Jesus with all their heart, with all their soul, mind, and the very fiber of their being. And Lord, as we depart from this place, we pray that your grace would continue to abound and be sufficient. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Come and express your condolences.